Ready? All right. I'd like to call the July 9th, 2019 meeting to order. Request a moment of silence followed by the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, Joel.
Okay, Will Miller.
Present.
Mark Saller.
Present.
Dave Bench.
Present.
Roll call complete.
Okay, looking for approval of the minutes from the June 25th, 2019 minutes. I did not print them.
There you go.
I looked at them on my email.
What one?
Yeah, if you could. I just, you know how it is when you look on your phone. But I didn't see any changes.
I didn't see anything either, but no. Mark?
I didn't see it. Nope, I didn't. I thought
no
they looked good.
No errors?
Okay. Wow. Well, you're lucky this week.
Okay. With no corrections, I can, I move to accept the minutes.
I'll second.
Okay, roll call, Dave Bench.
Yes.
Mark Saller.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Motion carried. Want to sign that real quick?
Me either.
No, it's in the dumb
thing. Bo, yeah.
Okay. Fiscal officer's report.
In the pile of papers, usual things, receipt, the deposit report, fund status report, payment listing. See, the balance is getting lower and lower, and that means we're soon to our second payment from the county. Probably, well, actually, I don't remember when it is. Is it August? Oh, yeah, because they're due in July. Yeah, soon. So that'll bring our checking balance up, and but obviously we're writing quite a few checks because that ties into the... Well, our checking balance, 148,401 and 2 cents, and then our Star Ohio, 588,568 and 35 cents, and then our payments, electronic payments 92,019 through 93,2019, and then warrants 17,697 through 17,840, totaling $41,503.23. And that was including, that's fourth quarter payroll for the fourth quarter. Second quarter payroll for the fire department. So that's why that's large. And that's the reports that you have. Oh, deposits made since last meeting. Totaling $13,552.60.
So we have more revenues coming in, hitting in July.
You'll have a second half tax settlement from the county.
Okay.
I think
okay.
That's later in okay. August.
Just curious about it on timing. Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
So, kind of see like we're halfway through the year. I didn't run an appropriations report, but I can email you guys if you want it. Just to see where everybody's at.
Yeah, I'd appreciate that. And that would be through the end of June, would it?
At today, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
The day that I run the report.
Yeah, that'd be great, because that'll have both the revenues.
Yep.
And appropriations and expenses. Yeah, that'd be great if you could send that out. Thank you.
All right. You got the wrong job.
Yeah, I'm aware.
You're aware?
Let's talk about it all the time. So any questions on any? Oh, you're still looking. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't get the checks, and I didn't.
We're good.
Need to we need to talk about that before we approve this? Or no?
I think we could approve the report.
Okay.
And then
good. And we can handle that later.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I move for approval of payment advice 90-2019 through 93-2019 and warrants 17697 through warrants number 17840 for a total expenditure of $41,503.23. And then for approval of receipts, 3-2019, 75-2019, 99-2019, 100-2019, 102-2019. Totaling net receipts of $13,552.60.
That's that tree cleanup. You got that in already?
Yeah. Gilder Road?
Yeah.
I think you turned it in today.
Today?
Yeah. I can second that.
Okay, roll call, Dave Bench.
Yes.
Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Motion carried.
And Joel, thank you for including the reconciliation summary on the top. I think that's a great idea. Appreciate that.
I didn't get one.
You didn't get this yet?
You didn't ask.
I don't
know what you're looking
at. Dave, did you get it?
No.
Oh.
No. Boy, oh boy.
One out of three is okay.
Nope.
All that is just showing that the June bank... Wow, June was reconciled with the bank and
perfect.
Which the only thing that really, if you look at that, like I did bring back a lot of stale checks from last year. I try to wait, and they're all
did it expired.
Yeah, I mean it's 90 days on the check, but I mean these are last year's checks, and so by now the employee didn't cash them, and well, it's up to them to reclaim that money if they choose to cash that check. Or if they find the check and go to, you know. So, but there was actually a lot, to be honest. Just here, there, some that were hanging around for a while. So, that just goes back into the fund, and that's what it is.
All right.
Okay, great.
Thank you, Joel. I know you got more. We'll get that new business. Yeah. So, move on to the chief. Kevin said you have 2 minutes.
Good evening. It's been a busy month. 39 runs for the month. We just uploaded everything to the state Ohio today on our reporting, so we're compliant with that. Wanted to share with you, we did submit for a wildland grant, which consists of tools and equipment. This one is a non-match, just a one-time grant. So we'll see where that comes through and provides us some extra tools and equipment. One of the significant calls we did have was the drowning, possible drowning at Maumee Bay State Park, and where I want to speak positively on that one is we had a very good support of staffing from our department and Oregon, and you know, our training works. Our training, we followed everything that we were supposed to do. We followed all of our different attempts and skills, and utilized sonar, and utilized cadaver dogs. So it ended up carrying into the one evening and then into the next day. And then decision was finally made that we called it. But other than that, you know, I'm not upset or displeased by any means that you know, our training worked and we followed everything like we were supposed to.
As far as everybody knows, do we believe that to be a false alarm?
We do.
Okay.
At this point, we do.
I'm with you. Better be safe than sorry.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, but with having everyone there, even on the second day, Chief Hartman was with us, you know, for the majority of the day as well, and and we exhausted all of the efforts and utilized all our procedures appropriately. So I was extremely pleased with that. We helped Oregon just recently in the Boom Fest. We supported with a medic unit and in our UTV. So it's always good to just go back and forth. This weekend is the Toledo Air Show. We'll be assisting there where we can. We may have an engine out there for Sunday is what they've requested. And but I'll be there Saturday and Sunday. I have the transportation officer's position for the air show. So it's a good opportunity to work one of these big events like this is, again, for the experience of any firefighter to get the opportunity to work in a large capacity. I mean, there's probably 100 officers there, law enforcement going to be supporting this thing, and then firefighters, there's probably 50 to 75. With, you know, they reach out to the whole county and everybody, you know, tries to provide some help in some way. So that's what's going on there. Just this weekend was the Lighthouse Festival. The only thing we have to support there is inspection of the tents and the food vendors. And to my knowledge, everything went well. I never heard of anything. We never had any calls. So it was good. But you never know day to day. Yesterday we had 7 calls. So it was an unusual day. It was just busy, just one thing after another. Fortunately, it was nothing of any extreme severity, but extremely pleased to see the support and manpower that we had available for showing up for these things. So everything's going good. I don't have anything to complain. We're just doing our job. Remember, the July 20th is our 75th anniversary. And we're making the final plans were made today and putting assignments out to the different people. But certainly hope everybody will come. We're going to take a half-page ad in the press in order to get out there, as well as using the social media to push it out there. But sure would like the public to show up and have some fun. I would like the trustees to come along. We have a little competition we'd like to have with you guys, if you could collectively show up, if you're available. But so it's just a fun day for everybody.
Remind us, please, of the date.
It is July 20th from noon till 6 p.m. And hot dogs, hamburgers going to be provided, chips, drink, games, activities. There'll be a lot of activities for the young kids to partake in. And we're not going to have a softball game. We're going to have a wiffle ball game. So should be fun. So we'll be playing at Jerusalem School and our rec field. So we have additional port-a-johns coming out, and we've talked to Ace, and they're going to make sure everything's set up and clean and everything for us. So.
All right. I'd like to just pass along a compliment that I heard from one of our residents just the other day about our fire department. The paramedic response.
Okay.
And they were very grateful, very appreciative, said you guys were just wonderful, very professional. And she said that when she looked up and saw your face and recognized you, it really made her feel a lot more comfortable.
So
thank you for, yeah, you
thank
and your
you.
Team for doing such a great job.
That pays, there's the pay right there, is mm-hmm. when we can have the residents come back and tell us thanks. We appreciate that. That's all I have.
Tony, I got a question on.
Yes, sir.
On no Dick's questions. Barn, there are you ever going to try and?
On Max.
Yeah.
I've talked to Nancy about that, and the last I got was just financially she wasn't able to handle it, but I can talk to her again.
Well, when I talked to her, she said if I had somebody to clean it up, that she was more than willing to do it. And I found a guy in a township that might. Pick the tin up and that, and take it, you know, and junk it, you know, and yeah. That's the main.
I'll have to check. We're still submitting for the EPA
yeah.
permit for the Howard Road one. So, I'm just trying to do too many things by myself and trying to get
yeah.
some help out there to do some of those things.
I just curious. It'd be nice
okay.
to,
yep.
you know.
Now, I did speak with Kevin, and we're going to assist in putting that flapper gate in. This week, so the new gate that has come in. So
yeah,
we're going to put that in for you.
So appreciate we've that. Got the bucket?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Good.
Okay.
So. Great. Wonderful.
Chief, yes. Real quick, did you catch Butch Berger by any chance over there?
I saw Butch.
Okay.
I talked with him, but
he wanted about the anniversary thing. He said he mentioned something about. Okay.
I talked to him briefly.
Just wanted to make sure you caught up with him on that. Mm-hmm. Okay. As long as it's a running contest between the trustees, I think we'll be good. I think I might be able to win. Maybe.
If you knock Mark down.
Yeah.
I ran track, but it's been 55 years ago.
I have a wedding that day, but depending on what time it is, I'm definitely going to try and make it over, but I do have a wedding that day, so.
I understand. Yep.
All right. Thank you, Chief. Anything else for Chief, guys? All right. Mike, you're up.
Okay. Programming-wise, a lot of baseball's in it, a lot of softball's in it. Okay. There's a few more things happening, but it's coming to an end. The football, just briefly, they switched leagues this year, so it's going back to what it was. If you remember the Sylvania League before that, it's going back to that. So it's like Gibsonburg and Oak Harbor and Woodville. Northwood, there's six teams, so there'll be five games. It's just a little bit different, but I think it fits better with Oregon. So I think that'll be a good mix. The fields look great. I think they look very good. The weeds are not as bad as last year. I know last year there was something going on out there, but there's really been no issues with any of that. The bags are on the trees. They came up with the bags on. They're pretty nice bags. They're nicer than the ones that I looked at. The ones I looked at had a Velcro strap. These zip all the way up. So it goes around the tree and it zips up like maybe 15, 18 inches. It's a pretty substantial bag. So
you just come by and fill it up with water and then let it drain in over an hour or two.
It has little holes in the bottom. It takes like 5 to 7 days to empty out.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah, so they're... I haven't filled them up yet, but that'll become separate.
Great.
So those are ours, the townships to keep. So we'll have those at our disposal, so, which is great. The walking path, I did meet with John Blousy out there, and I walked him through the whole entire thing, and told him about the changes that Dean asked for. You know, it's no big deal. It's pretty straightforward. And I did reinforce the time frame that we had, and he was aware of that, and he assured me he would have it done for that date. I was out there yesterday. There was nothing yet, so we'll. And I did talk to Kevin yesterday. Only thing he needed to figure out where to put that dirt, because it was not quoted for him to do anything but stockpile. So he said he would talk to Kevin. And figure out the best way to do it.
We got to add on to that tail back of the White House, or don't we, Kevin?
We could add some more onto it.
Yeah.
Do we want it to run down towards the west, towards John Dota, or just leave that open? We can haul the rest of the dirt and just pile it then.
It's going to take quite a bit of dirt just to bring it up to the back of the other houses, isn't it? Because it really tapered off, didn't it, back of the white one?
Well, yeah, it tapers off in there, but it's down a couple feet.
Yeah, I don't think we want to go to the west, do you?
Well, I know at one time we talked about it, but it to me it doesn't matter. I'd rather just haul it out of there and be done with it.
Why don't we see how much it takes to get that up there and how much extra or whatever what you got.
Yeah.
So I'd rather see it stay there. Oh, and I did talk to John, and he's going to move in about Thursday.
Oh, he is? Okay. Okay, good. Good, good.
I bounced him, too, so make sure he gets here.
Okay, great. I'll make sure to be out there Thursday.
That's what he said. He's up in Toledo doing something now.
Yeah, he told me he's finishing up some three mm-hmm. places in Toledo. It's
yeah.
all the same job. So said when that gets done, he'll come out. So, okay, good.
Well, we got to haul the dirt away. Somebody better give me some notice, because the end of the week, I'm not going to be here. And depending on what I got Eric doing, if he's already gone... There'll be nobody to haul dirt.
I'd say you find a you come up with the spot you want. I mean, I agree with Dave. It should probably stay there. Let's just find a spot where you think it should stay, and if where he can stockpile it.
No, what are we doing? Going from the road to the back, then across to where the farm field is?
Yeah, going from the back corner of the parking lot of the school,
yeah,
straight over to our spot, our pathway, and then where our pathway turns to the diamonds, it'll continue on the property line to the farm field, and then turn to the east, and then stop at the part that's developed and the part that's not.
Okay, we're removing the school dirt then too? The school's not taking their own dirt? Or?
No, it's all gonna go to us.
It's only 4 inches deep, isn't it?
It's only 4 inches deep, yeah. And Dean has everything, and he didn't question it. So I just told John that all of it to be moved wherever Kevin would tell him.
I'll talk to John. If I have to drive the truck, I'll drive the truck and haul it.
Okay.
If worse comes to worse, we'll see what happens.
I'll just be glad when this gets done.
Well, I just need him to call me or someone to call me. Not the morning he's there and he's already digging and got a pile of dirt already. So we can plan for that event to make sure we're there.
I'll tell him to call me so we can keep in contact then.
Well, when Mike talked to him, he said he had my number. He's going to call me, and he has not yet called me yet. Oh. So.
Okay, I didn't know he had your number.
He did have a problem with his phone, though, he told me. He said all his contacts are gone. He had to manually go through everything. So, but he said he was going to drive over here and talk to Kevin. But I guess when he did, he wasn't here. He was out somewhere else.
I'll talk to him too, Kevin, and we'll keep in contact.
And then just lastly, the field uses is coming to an end. And for next month, I will have some figures on how it was compared to the last few years. So on that, that's all I have.
All right. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Anything else for Mike? All right, moving on. Linda's not here. All right, go on to maintenance department. Kevin.
Okay, for roads department, I did get an application from Adam Parcelletti for part-time help, which I started him to work on Monday. So he's going to be filling in off and on, doing whatever we need so we can keep up with stuff and get caught up with stuff. If anybody else has got any other names too, I would still like them, because I'd like to put together some kind of a summer help list. And, you know, for right now, he's filling the position, but eventually he'll find a full-time job along the way, and I'll need somebody else too. So just so you know, Joel's got all the appropriate paperwork for him. He's doing really well. He's been weed-eating and mowing grass for us. Road mowing will potentially start again tomorrow. With no determination on these county roads yet, a few of them are getting kind of bad, so we're actually going to go in and mow them. The ones that weren't certified by the state and the county scores up and down are still ours. I'm still not going to put any money into them other than mowing them. I'm sorry the county missed out, but we need to get some legal advice on this, on what direction to go, and not buy the bag of hole that we're getting from the county. The guy from the state certification board that I talked to, it does all the road certification, told me if they're not certified for you, they're not yours. So about half of the roads that they give us are certified to us, the other half aren't. So just for the sakes of our residents, start calling and griping, because the grass is 4 foot tall. We're going to run through some of it. But we need to get something, to get some kind of an opinion, which either way, come January, they're going to force the rest down on us, if they're able to. So we have been pumping down there, trying to get some of that water out of the back of Bono. We're still running the pumps also for the main town of Bono, for the north end of it. No word on when the new pump will be in for that pumping station, or when they'll be back out to set the floats, so we don't have to keep running down there, turning them on and off. cemetery, finally got the footers in, put in 14 footers, removed two foundation with veterans plaques, which this morning I took those veteran plaques up to the monument company to be remounted on new stones. We leveled up a couple graves while we were there. The big thing in the cemetery yet is all them headstones have to be leveled yet. And there's quite a few big ones in the old section that we're going to have to level yet, which hopefully will come in the next month or so. We'll get in there and start getting them when we get all the roads caught up. So, other than that, that's all I got, unless you guys got something for me.
14 foundations, and what was right after that?
Removed two foundations with veterans plaques.
Okay. Thank you.
Kevin, I was in Ellison Cemetery, and they got some of them that are all tilting too, you know, and they got the same problem.
Well, where you get into the problem is if you got the big headstones with a granite slab that sits on top. When you start getting 90-degree weather, that mastic that they bond them with just starts letting them slide, and they can fall over if they get leaning too far. We had that problem with the burp stone along the way and a couple other, the tall ones. So those we're going to address first. Any of the real small slabs and stuff that are leaning, we're not even going to worry about them right away. It'll be all the taller monuments that are 3 or 4 foot tall. So.
Anything else for Kevin? Thank you, Kevin. All right, trustees reports. Mark, anything on the cemetery?
Nope, nothing to report.
Okay. Hall rental's been slow. Kevin, we do not have any rentals this weekend. I checked on that for you. Dave, got anything on roads?
Oh, not really. I got a few things that we'll go through in the old business or something here.
Okay. All right. Moving on to old business. Repairs to the hall. Have you heard from the brick lady?
Yes. She finally called me back. And, Kevin, she's coming. She's going to call you. She's coming Saturday, so we better pull anything out you might want over the weekend that we might need. Better have it out, but she's coming Saturday morning.
Okay, but she won't be in the way Monday morning, correct?
Good question. The way it's on, the carpenter was going to come through Sunday, and they might be all done, but I won't, don't.
What time did she call you back today? Because I called her this morning, told her I was taking all of her stuff, setting it outside. If there was anything of value, she needed to pick it up.
Yeah, she called me. Oh, it must have been about 5.
But the only thing I can see is using over the weekend would be maybe the pickup if we get a northeast wind or something.
You might need to pick up, yeah.
Signs, so I can possibly shuffle that out into the pole barn or something.
So. Well, she'll probably be calling you tomorrow.
Okay.
All right. Water issues. We got a lot of them.
Yeah.
So we're still plugging away at everything. Dave, Cedar Point Road there, between Teach Out and Yondota, is that water coming over the banks? Is that what it is? Is there not a bank along the south side of Seaman? Where Connors is always blocking it off there.
Oh, there's sewers there, and the sewers back up. Same thing, no caps on them.
Okay, that's what's happening there. That's where all that water's coming from.
Yeah. And one time I went to talk to Connors, and the road was all flooded. I talked to him about 15 minutes, come back, the road's clear. I mean, it's just that quick. It is crazy. Mm-hmm. And I talked to another guy that lives down by Connors there, and the water's actually coming under the road. It's seeping. You can see it seep up. The road's going to be junk pretty soon.
Yeah.
So, and it's seeping under the road over to the other properties. Hmm. So it's just, everybody's got problems.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Okay.
But it actually does come under the guardrail and onto the road.
It comes out of the ditch there. Yeah. That's where the big problem is.
It starts out of them storm sewers that they put in.
The sewers back up, and yep. You can tell where the wettest spots are. That's where the sewers are at.
So the gate is not working. I mean, it's working somewhat, but it's not sealing 100%. Like no. The county said it was right. Yeah.
Oh, it's good enough for them. Yeah. It's good enough for them.
Okay.
You know, Bo, if we ever get that
trap at the end of, by the coulee there, out there by Hanson's back there. I think that would help us immensely, because Saks isn't as bad, being that's there, you know, it still floods, but.
You mean at the end of Wolf Creek's property there?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
if we get one out there, but that's going to, water's going to have to go down a while. That's going to be a couple of years from now.
Okay. Road transfer, Kevin touched base on that. We're going to have to figure out, I mean, like you said, they're going to cram it down our throat next year in January. So it would be nice to have an opinion, though, for plowing this winter.
And they still haven't held up to their end of the deal that they were going to bring all these roads up.
Mm-hmm.
They ain't been out and burned them. They haven't patched nothing. They ain't done anything.
They're busy.
So basically, it's like most politicians. If you don't get it in writing and their lips are moving, they're lying.
Right.
So that's exactly what they did to us. So.
All right. Jerusalem Elementary Path, we'll get that one off hopefully next meeting. Mike, you're going to come back and say it's done.
That's the plan.
Okay. Number five with the 911, I know that's going to be touched in basis in the new business right there. So I had left the Corps of Engineers thing on here. I'll remove that one. Titles for a list of vehicles yet. Probably haven't worked on that yet. We'll leave that one on there, try and get that. I know. And I know the fire department's got a lot going on, too, so it's just... it's
been busy.
Yeah, so... but we're gonna leave that one on there. Mike Sheehy, I know Mark actually got to corner him yesterday.
Yes. Yeah.
So
he really exists?
He does, yeah. Very, very nice gentleman. He was at the Water Quality Council meeting that I was attending yesterday afternoon and got a chance to talk with him. And he gave me his personal cell phone number and his personal email address and said he'd be happy to help us get connected with the state of Ohio road engineers. And so I just late today got the first request off to him to take a look at.
He doesn't even know that Sam, his rep, has did this already? That's bad.
As who? No, what now?
His rep, Sam. I've been talking to Sam, you know, I tell you all the time.
Okay.
That's like his secretary.
His secretary, we'll say. Right. And he's actually been working with the state. Sam called me today. Yeah. So see how much he knows. It's scary, isn't it? Politician.
Well, he's got people to help him, right?
So, yeah. Dave, did Sam have anything good for us?
He says he's moved it up to the state. You know, some other organizations are helping, and he's going to keep plugging away.
Okay.
So that's all I can do, and I'll keep bugging him. And the ODNR is supposed to be calling me up. But, you know, that hasn't happened. Sam asked me, they called you yet? No, so.
Okay. All right. Well, I copy you gentlemen on the email. So
if
the photos help to pass along to the state engineer, by all means.
Yeah. That was interesting. I'm glad. Oh, yeah.
All right. Moving on. I know last meeting we talked about the Ken Belkoffer's offer for the real estate.
And we talked about going to a second realtor.
Yes, and well. I think was Linda was heading that up. I think when she was she the one that was heading that up, or did you head up the one?
I was going to head it up, and I haven't done anything with it.
Okay,
I'm truthful with you.
Okay, we'll leave that one on.
Okay.
The tax penalty.
We can probably address that down in new business.
Yeah, I'm thinking that's down there.
Yeah.
I did have one. I added that. Yeah, I do. I added one in the old business here. I did receive the quick claim deed from Ernest Cottrell for Brian Henneman. It was lot number 859. We already approved this back in May, but the deed's been filed. So I'll leave all this for Linda so she can file that where she needs to put that at. So that's all I had in old business.
I have one thing.
Oh.
In business.
Joel.
Okay. Just follow up on the fire levy renewal. Um, So the only reason this came up today is because the county auditor mailed me today. So mailed me what I needed. There's some more trees for you. That's one set. One set. So like we did for the road and bridge levy, the 2 mil, we received from the auditor of the county, I'm sorry, the confirmation of resources for the renewal with increase. That's their certification saying it's okay for us to proceed. And then here's the resolution that we need to adopt to go on to the Board of Elections to place on the ballot. Like we did for the 2 mil renewal road and bridge levy, allowing them to place it on the ballot. And that's the extent of it. So the language is very similar. So I don't necessarily think you need to read all of it, but the resolution just needs to probably start below that big paragraph at the top. And again, it's just saying, hey, we're going to take this paperwork from the county that they need, the Board of Elections, along with this resolution saying we agree to put it on the ballot so the voters can decide what to do with it.
Okay, this is what we previously discussed. A 5 mil renewal plus a 1.5 mil increase. If I've got that for the 6.5 mm-hmm. total.
Yep. Okay. And that certificate of estimated property tax revenue is the certified funds of revenue. So, yep, second page, you got it. Which looks exactly like what they gave us before. But now it's signed by the auditor, and that's what it is.
Right, very good. Okay. All right, I
think you don't need to read that top half there.
Don't read the top half, please.
You don't want to read the top half?
No.
Just.
Well, summarize it. That's a lot.
Huh. Well, I'll go ahead and move for adoption of the resolution. This is a resolution declaring the necessity of levying a renewal tax under revised code 5705-19 outside the 10 mil limitation will be insufficient to provide an adequate amount from the necessary requirements of Jerusalem Township, Lucas County, Ohio. Whereas the Board of Trustees has passed a resolution of necessity place a 6.5 mil renewal with an increased levy on the November 5 ballot 2019 at the regular Board of Trustee meeting on April 23rd, 2019. That's the previous one, right?
Yeah. Actually, I have to change that date. I'm sorry.
Okay, so is that
I rip off and duplicated. That's my fault.
Okay.
That's okay. Keep going.
All right. Whereas the Board of Trustees have received the necessary certification of revenue for the renewal levy from the Lucas County Auditor, which is this, be it now therefore resolved by the Board of Trustees, of all members elected thereto concurring that it is necessary to renew an existing tax and increase the rate to be levied in excess of the 10 mil limitation for the benefit of Jerusalem Township, being an increase of 1.5 mils along with renewing 5.0 mils for the purpose of providing and maintaining fire apparatus, mechanical resuscitators, underwater rescue and recovery equipment, or other fire equipment and appliances, buildings and sites therefore, or sources of water supply and materials thereof, for the establishment and maintenance of lines of fire alarm communication, for the payment of firefighting companies or permanent part-time or volunteer firefighting, emergency medical service, administrative or communications personnel to operate the same, including the payment of any employer contributions required for such personnel under certain sections of the revised code, for the purchase of ambulance equipment for the provision of ambulance, paramedic, and other emergency medical services operated by a fire department or firefighting company, or for the payment of other related costs at a rate not exceeding 6.5 mils for each $1 evaluation, which amounts to $0.65 for each $100 evaluation for a period of 5 years. Be it further resolved that the renewal tax levy be placed upon the tax lists of the current tax year commencing in 2020, first due in calendar year 2021, in compliance with Ohio Revised Code, if a majority of electors voting thereon vote in favor thereof. Be it further resolved that the question of such renewal with increased tax levy shall be submitted to the electors of Jerusalem Township, the election to be held therein on Tuesday, November 5th, 2019. And be it further resolved that the fiscal officer is hereby directed to certify a copy of the resolution along with the Lucas County Auditor's certification to the Board of Elections, Lucas County, Ohio, not less than 90 days before the general election on November 5th, 2019, and notifying the Board of Elections to cause the notice of election on the question of levying tax to be given as a matter of law. So Trustee Sattler made the motion. Trustee seconding?
I can second it.
I was going to have you reread it.
Quick correct. That date, too, at the beginning, okay. Is June 25th.
June 25th.
Was the last meeting when Tony brought it to the board. So, sorry. I looked it over.
Okay.
Okay, so they have been seconded. Okay, roll call. Mark Sattler?
Yes.
Bo Miller?
Yes.
Dave Bench?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Then you'll need to have all of us sign off later.
Yeah, just do it now.
Okay.
This first page just has to have the date change, so Mark, you start on this first page, and then you guys. So we're a year early. That's good. Let's see what happens.
Not a bad thing to be ahead of the curve. Yeah.
Okay, anything else for old business, Joel?
No, thank you.
Okay. All right. Which one's the longest one on here, Mark? I mean, Mike, do you know which one?
It really depends upon the discussion. How much discussion? I think they're both going to be controversial. I'm on mine just working my way down the list, if you'd like.
That works for me.
Okay. All right. Okay, the first item of new business is the 911 consolidation. First order of business that we need to attend to is, let me jump ahead and kind of explain so our audience understands what's going on. I'm going to explain the whole 911 thing in just a couple minutes, but part of this sets up a five-member board, and one of those seats on that board is someone who is elected. It's a township trustee of any of the townships except for the largest township, and at the last Lucas County Township Association meeting, it was voted that Andy Glenn of Springfield Township would be our representative from all of the other townships. So he would carry our vote forward. Joel, you have a resolution that was emailed out, right? That's the one that you had sent to all of us.
Okay.
Asking if we'd got it. So we just need to enter that into the minutes and formally approve that resolution.
Send it on to them. Send it on to whom?
Yeah, and we'll have to sign off and then right. You, yeah. Right.
Do
Do you have that?
Do I have, no, I have it on my phone.
Do you want me to print it off, I guess?
Yeah, actually, that would be great if you would mind.
Discussion.
Is this a resolution? Is it this one?
Yes, yeah, that's it. That's the one right there.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to read it or summarize it?
I can read it off.
Okay. Right.
Okay, a resolution appointing Andy Glenn of the Board of Springfield Township Trustees to represent the Township Trustees of Lucas County for the convening of the 911 Planning Committee. Whereas Lucas County maintains a countywide 911 system as defined and authorized by Ohio Revised Code Section 128.03, through the adoption of a final plan in 1995, whereas the Board of County Commissioners intends to convene a meeting of the 911 Planning Committee for the purpose of considering an amended to Lucas County's final plan pursuit to Ohio Revised Code Section 12-06 and 128-12. Whereas the Board of Township Trustees in the county collectively appointed a Township Trustee to represent them on the 911 Planning Committee. Now, therefore, it be resolved by the Board of Jerusalem Township Trustees, Lucas County, Ohio, that Section 1, Jerusalem Township, appoint Andy Glenn of the Board of Springfield Township Trustees to represent the Township Trustees of Lucas County for the convening of the 911 Planning Committee pursuant to Board of Lucas County Commissioners Resolution and Ohio Revised Code 128-106. Section 2 is found and determined that all formal actions of the Board concerning and relating to this resolution were adopted in an open meeting of this Board, and that all deliberations of this Board and any of its committees that resulted in such formal actions were in meeting open to the public in compliance with all legal requirements, including Section 121.22 of the Ohio Revised Code. Section 3, this resolution shall take effect from and after the date of this passage. The Board of Lucas County Commissioners has proposed to merge all regional 911 operations into a single consolidated operation. The commissioners and their director.
Oh, that's right. I'll talk. That's a different one. I'll talk about that.
Okay.
Sounds so good. The resolution we that just need to.
This is talking about consolidation. Yeah. Thank you.
Sure.
This doesn't need to be signed. It doesn't have anyone's signature on it.
Yeah, I guess you got it electronically. You
I should just, probably add it in then.
Yeah, just need to add our township name in, and then it's part of our minutes.
Do we have to sign it? Do you think? Or?
Well, it's a resolution.
I think we ought to.
I kind of do too.
Yeah.
Okay. So you made the motion by reading it?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
I'll second.
Okay, roll call. Bo Miller.
Yes.
Dave Bench.
Yes.
Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay. So that was simply to appoint Andy Glenn to be our representative, because we have to have a representative now. So I don't know how much everybody has heard about the 911 consolidation. It's been a topic of discussion for a while. So the Lucas County Commissioners have proposed to merge all of the various regional 911 operations into a single consolidated operation. The commissioners and their director of public safety are claiming that by consolidating all of these into a single operation, we will realize economies of scale that will generate a 33% savings. Instead of having six or seven different PSAPs, one will operate much more efficiently. Then every jurisdiction will be expected to pay its share of the operating costs for the consolidated 911 operation, and it would be based upon the number of incidents. So they've got history that shows how many 911 incidents occurred. And they've allocated that out, and they told each jurisdiction, here's your percentage. And so now currently, Jerusalem Township, and Chief, correct me if I'm wrong, we pay approximately $12,000 to the Oregon Fire Department for fire dispatching.
That is correct.
Okay. We, and I'm gonna sidestep the non-emergency dispatching for just a moment. So right now we're only paying for the fire dispatching. Under the consolidated plan with the 33% economy of scale savings, our share of the cost will be $31,265 and change. Now that's a cost increase of almost $20,000 a year from what we're currently experiencing. That's the controversial piece. Now the county commissioners have agreed to temporarily subsidize that cost and phase it in over a 3-year period. So we would not bear our full cost until 2023. They'd phase a percentage of it in over the next few years. Now, on the other side, if all of the jurisdictions were able to achieve a majority vote to defeat the 911 consolidation proposal, the county commissioners have the authority to say, very well, you voted against consolidation, you're all still going to pay your share of the costs for operating 911. So right now we're paying our fire dispatching cost to the Oregon, who dispatches fire for us. But the non-emergency piece, the sheriff of Lucas County and his operation does that for us and doesn't charge it back to us. So the commissioners have alluded to, if this doesn't fly, Jerusalem Township and every other township and every other jurisdiction would be expected to bear its full cost of dispatch services. Now that full cost without the economy of scale savings, our full cost would be $46,868. So that's an increase of almost $35,000 over what we're currently paying today. So in order to determine whether the merged and consolidated 911 operation proposal is to be approved and implemented, a temporary 5-member board is being established. And those 5 seats will consist of the president of the board of the county commissioners, that's Pete Gerken, he chairs county commissioners. The second seat is the CEO of the largest municipality, that would be, I imagine that would be the mayor of Toledo, the city of Toledo. Seat number 3 is the member of the largest board of township trustees, that's Sylvania Township, so Sylvania Township would appoint one of their trustees to that chair. I haven't heard a name yet. 4th is the member of a board of township trustees selected by all other townships. That's what we just did, Andy Glenn of Springfield Township. And the 5th seat is the CEO of a municipal corporation selected by the majority of municipal corporations. So all the other burgs would get together and select one of their a mayor or a CEO. And I haven't heard a name for that one either. Those would be the 5 seats. Those folks would convene for maybe only one meeting. That would happen somewhere around September or October. And they would then vote on whether to approve the full consolidation of the 911 services. That's coming up in September, October, thereabouts. And if that is approved, then they're estimating that full consolidation would be established in about 12 months. So let me stop and ask if there's any questions.
You did a real good job.
That's a really long, that's a 20-page paper and two-thirds of a page.
But you got it down to the basics. We don't have a chance.
Well, sounds like they're going to penalize us for not approving it.
Well, we have one chance. Governor Chapozak, both those stupid idiots out of office.
No.
Commissioners, because they're ridiculous. They're making, what are they going to do with this extra $30,000?
Build their jail.
They're going to use it for the 9/11. They're going
to
use it for the jail.
You're right. It was just on TV tonight. They have to have a new dog pond. Pound.
Ridiculous.
Because, you know, you look at it, Mark, you know, you get the county commissioner, he's going to vote for it. The city of Toledo's going to vote for it. You know, and probably Sylvania's going to vote for it. And whoever they put on here, the other one, on the CEO of a municipal corporation, they're going to vote. So there's four already. I don't think we've got a chance.
Succeed.
Yeah. See what we mean? Tony, we went to the meeting and we were all gung-ho that we really didn't want to join, but we came back. We didn't. It was just like this. We didn't know what, you know.
Yeah. They do have a big stick.
Yeah.
Did you have a question?
Yes.
No. Oh, okay.
Yes. This was pivotal for why we were asking for the additional levy, and I hope we get it.
Yeah.
This is a big part of it.
We had to stress that.
So, yeah, so bottom line, if this goes through, we'll see a cost increase of about $20,000 a year. If it doesn't go through, we could see a cost increase of $35,000 a year.
That's only if Oregon continues to keep low expense to us.
Well,
you
yeah.
know, I mean, that's true. That's, yeah. You know, they've been very generous to us. I mean, you know, because I've been watching enough for the last 6 years, so they've been real good to us.
Okay.
Well, how much does your fire levy bring in now? Because you're looking at $100,000 over the life of your fire levy right now, just with the added cost, not including the rest. So you're most probably looking $150,000, $160,000. Now, where's your payroll coming from? And your trucks are no longer going to get replaced. You're going to have to go to a ridiculous levy to get money to do that. What this reminds me of is the bowling situation, when it used to be runs no life squads, which got voted out, and the world was going to end, which it didn't. The sheriff's already subsidized by all the Lucas County taxpayers to begin with for their service. So where's that money at that they're not throwing into the gray area? Because it's not out of the sheriff's kindness of his heart to do anything for you. So I would vote no just to vote no.
And those numbers aren't in stone. I mean, that they're giving us numbers.
Well,
but
that,
in 3 years,
I mean that's in the proposal. I mean, if the costs go up in 3 years,
you know, what was our cost going to be at the end of 3 years? Was it
31,265.
They could come back to us easily and say, we misfigured it. It's going to be $40,000 or $50,000 in 3 years.
Because if the cost goes up, everybody is on a percentage basis, and everybody's going to pay more. And I tell you, you know, it would not be good for the county commissioners to anger everybody on the list, because if the total cost goes up, everybody pays more, and then they've got everybody mad at them.
Yeah, but everybody in the city of Toledo votes for him, so. They're in.
Well,
yeah, I've never seen it so easy for somebody like Gerken just to keep year after year, you know, term after term. They don't wise up to it. That they're evil. So.
Well, anyway, there's really nothing. There's really nothing more that we can do. I mean, we were required to, well, we were asked to select a representative. We did that, and now he's our representative, and there's really not, we don't have any further, he's our voice on that five-person committee. So I just really wanted to make sure that our township residents are aware of this. I was going to go ahead and put this out on the website so that anybody can get to it. And you know, and if there are questions, you know, we've got the full briefing. We'd be happy to try to answer any questions that anybody has along the way.
Tell you, Chief, this would be something good for you to have in your literature too when you guys are going out. I mean, this Mark did a good job on this.
And maybe at the bottom of that, you should have the county commissioners' numbers. But please call and voice your opinion.
Pete Gerken's home phone. Yeah.
Whatever it is.
Call after one.
I was going to get in contact with Andy though and see where he stands. Mm-hmm. I think I know where he stands, but I don't know if it does any good anyhow. So.
All right. Okay. Any no questions or comments from anybody? Okay. All right.
Okay. Moving on. Water quality.
Okay. So water quality. There is a TMACOG is the Toledo Metropolitan Area Council of Governments, and there's a number of different councils. One of them is the Water Quality Council. The Water Quality Council met yesterday. I'm Jerusalem Township's representative on that Water Quality Council, and the biggest issue that was on their agenda yesterday is a joint project to address Curtis and Williston unsewered areas. So there's approximately 800 homes in the Curtis-Williston area that are not connected to sewers. Many of their septic systems have broken down over time and are leaking untreated sewage into our waterways and ultimately reaching Lake Erie, contributing to the algal blooms and the phosphorus nitrogen nutrient load. In 2015 and 2016, the Toledo Lucas County Health Department sampled the area and they found high levels of E. coli bacteria, which pose a health hazard. I found out this morning that this unsewered area has really been a priority since the 1980s. And now we're very close to potentially activating this joint project to address it. Now, the Lucas County and Ottawa Health Departments and Allen Township, which is part of Ottawa County, all three have submitted letters to the Ohio EPA asking that the EPA agency confirm that the area has unsanitary conditions based on the water sampling. The Ohio EPA did their own investigation and they agreed, and they declared that the area was a public health nuisance due to failing septic systems. Right now there are not findings and orders issued that mandate a change, but the Ohio EPA said they're coming and they're not far away. And then it's, you know, then it's, this will happen. This joint project that was discussed, it was on the agenda yesterday, was kicked off in early 2018 and is expected to be a five-year project. The joint project proposal is to build a sewer system in our area that would then channel wastewater to the Oregon Wastewater Treatment Facility. Now, we've got a pretty small number of households in the affected area. 800 is a really small number. So here's the dollar numbers. The sanitary sewer construction would be assessed over a 20-year period. The cost of constructing that sewer itself would be about $75.57 per home per month. That's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Second piece is the City of Oregon. What's that?
It gets better.
The second piece is the City of Oregon wastewater treatment cost. City of Oregon is going to charge $40.85 per home per month to treat that, that wastewater that's funneled to them. $40.85. Okay. Item three, the Lucas County operation and maintenance costs to maintain that sewer system. $40 even per home per month. And I will give you a total at the end. The fourth item is the cost to connect each home to the sewer mains. And that would be assessed over a 10-year period. So every month for 10 years, that cost would be $36.70. So the total per month for, you know, at least the first 10 years, and then it's going to tail off a little bit out, you know, out to 20 years and then tail off again, that's $193.12.
Month. You better sell your
month.
House right now.
So any homes that are within 200 feet of a planned sewer line must connect. That would be mandatory. That would be enforceable by the county and the EPA. It's not optional. You can't say, well, I'm really happy with my septic system, so thank you very much. However, there probably are some homes that are far enough away. They're pretty isolated. They're, you know, very, very rural areas. There isn't going to be a sewer main nearby. Those homes would be exempt and would still have their septic systems. So the County Health Department would enforce the connection of a home to a sanitary sewer, and the Ohio EPA would enforce the connection of commercial businesses to connect. Now, they are reminding us, hey, it's a lot cheaper to connect to a sanitary sewer when it's being installed than to hire a contractor and connect later. So part of the discussion yesterday, and we had two of our state representatives at the table yesterday afternoon for this. The costs of this project are expected to create some pretty significant economic hardships for many residents. When we look at the cost, there isn't any more expensive sewer implementation that we know of. Almost $200 a month per home. That's really a huge amount of money. Part of the business yesterday was to pursue a grant, either from the state or the federal government, to cover 50% of the sewer construction. Now, there's four components there. Only the first component is the sewer construction, and that was $75.57. So if we are successful in landing a grant that pays half of that, usually they're 50-50. Well, so that takes about $37 or $38 off of that. That still means that we're looking at $150 and change per month per home. The team at COG assessment was, if there's no grant, this is really unaffordable for homeowners. If we get the 50% grant on the sewer construction, it's barely.
It's
a matter of opinion, but they're saying, well, it's really an expensive proposition, but they're saying that it still would, you know, still could go forward at that point if we can land the 50% grant. So we did have two state representatives present yesterday. Haraz Ganbari, who is District 3, that's Wood County, and Michael Sheehy, who's 46th District, which includes Oregon and Jerusalem Township. They were present, and they both talked about how important it is to do everything we can to reduce the amount of untreated sewage that reaches Lake Erie. I did a little bit of follow-up research. There is a Great Lakes Water Quality Agreement that was signed by the U.S. and Canada in 1972. It was amended in 83 and 87, and then in 2012 it was updated to really enhance the water quality programs of the Great Lakes. That 2012 update calls for a 40% reduction in phosphorus load by 2025. So when I asked the PhD scientist at TEMACOG, so how are we doing on our goals? The answer was, not good. We're really not making much progress. So we haven't, the big we, U.S. and Canada, haven't done enough yet to make a significant reduction in the phosphorus load in the Great Lakes. This is a very expensive joint proposal. I can't help but be concerned about the impact on many of our residents. Mr. Boothby, you have a question.
Yes, the question would be, and I was waiting for you to give a figure, usually on these sewer assessments and installations, you're assessed by your property footage, your frontage. And this 20-year sewer assessment of 7557 encompasses a person might have a 75-foot lot,
yeah,
and the next person might have 1,300 feet. So there will be no footage assessment?
Well, I'm not ready to say that.
And
I think
that would be a significant load on top of what you're stating here.
Yeah. So
you're going to price people right out of their homes there.
Yeah, because if they're assessing and sewer assessments by the foot for frontage is very expensive, not entailing this $193.12 a month.
So when I asked the question of, can you give me the addresses of who's affected and who's exempt? The response was that would typically be done in the next phase coming up. We're not there yet. So I suspect that this is all based on averages and nobody's looking at frontage or anything like that yet. They're simply saying, we know that there's 800 homes, and if we take the total numbers and we divide it by 800, That's the reference point I think we're working with. So what could happen is further down the road, the more expensive homes with more frontage, their bill may be higher than some number. I don't know what that number is yet. And then those homes that are smaller, lower cost, less frontage, their assessment may be lower. Because I think that everybody's just working on averages right now.
Yeah, because that's a pretty ambiguous figure, considering when you get a building permit, if you have one bathroom, you have one type of system, and if you have five bathrooms, you have another. So, I mean, this cost here at $193 is the tip of the iceberg. Mm-hmm.
Who, anybody in here got sewers that go to Oregon? What's your average bill?
$113 every quarter. And we had to pay for our frontage. We had to pay over $13,000.
Because that went into the tax base, right? The property tax.
You don't have to. I did. I put it down. Just
okay.
Easy.
Right.
But it was over $13,000 because we had more frontage. If you have less frontage, you pay it.
Mm.
Plus, the hookup cost us under $2,000. We paid that to other.
Is that about 10 years ago or more?
115.
I'm sorry?
I think it's 15 years now.
15 years, okay.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Okay.
So I got about 5 years or 4 years to pay on my taxes to pay it all. But it's not much different than you're saying right there. Mm-hmm.
Karen, is that all you pay too?
No, we pay for our line completely all the way to the hookup, and we only put $90 every few months.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's all about... It's ugly. You know, and again, they have the big stick so they can force it
Now, will that cancel out the old, the current sewer system we have now?
No, because this is just up in Curtis.
Yeah, I think that anybody who's got sewers right now is, they're already taken care of. This is the folks that, that don't have them.
I just didn't know if they were just going to make one big one, and this is going to be it now.
The other thing is, why is only half of Rideau Beach got sewer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's the other half.
Well, the sad thing about it is that, you know, you have the people that have the maintained leach systems and septic tanks and that, you know, that are maintained. You know, like our shop, we have to have it the same as the township here. Every year it's inspected by the county, and we pay their $40 or $80 fee to them, you know, and he comes out and looks at it, and yep, everything's good. And
you're just waiting for the day.
You know, then it's going to be, now they're going to force this on you, and it's going to be ridiculous. You know, imagine the frontage I have there, and then it's a commercial building. So, you know, if you, if they're maintained, they shouldn't, I don't know. I just, it's irritating.
Here's where it was going to go. We were told at one time it's going to go up to Route 2 up North Curtis, go over to about Kuzno, and then go across 579, maybe one road to the south, and go a little bit to the west of Curtis.
Yep.
It wasn't going to be a big, super big area.
Yeah.
Wildflower subdivision.
Yeah,
yeah, probably, Wildflower. Well,
it had Ketch Wildflower, and then all the mother homes there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Went all the way to Nesson Road or sewer.
Well, I'm just giving you kind of a.
Yeah.
You're right. It was Nissan, I think, Kevin.
Went all the way to,
yeah.
That's,
but it's kind of a square there. It's,
yeah.
They
can, yeah,
stay away from Nissan Road.
They're going around special to you. So, yeah.
So it wasn't the whole township or anything. It was just catching Curtis, more or less.
Like, you know, just call it
such. Yeah.
Where the population is.
Both. Both. So it's two.
Yes.
Right?
Not everybody.
Not everybody in Bowman?
Not everybody. I don't know how they get away with it.
Yeah, it's like when they did it, they just did certain areas rather than doing everything, so it was done.
It's kind of a shame the way that got done.
What they should have done, while everything was there, they should have just laid it out and got it done.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Well, what they did is some of the houses that were vacant at the time, they put the tap in front of the house, and somebody else bought it, and they never followed.
Oh, they give you a map there.
And they're still running on their leach field. Trust me,
see, you create this every time you go to the crazy lady, because that dumps directly into the creek.
Hey, look at him. He's trying to kill you to go to the crazy lady.
I'm the problem. Too many visits to the bathroom. Okay.
Any other discussion on the water quality?
Yeah, okay.
Good job.
Yeah, good reports, Mark.
Let's not talk about it again.
So, yeah, sorry to be the bearer of bad news.
Okay, so we'll move on to legal counsel for the tax penalty. I guess I'm using the terminology. Joel spoke with a lawyer.
Well, Mark and I had a 3-week conference call last Monday.
Yep.
This past Monday. And we decided jointly to retain his services to, and it was actually a pretty positive conversation, meaning a small amount of money up front to hire his firm to help us with the 2015 federal tax.
Right. Maybe why don't we just recap and the amount of penalties we're looking at right now, and then the potential cost retainer for the legal counsel.
I don't have that here.
The penalties that we're facing is approximately $10,000.
Down from 15.
Yeah. Thank you, Joel. Joel worked it down from 15 down to 10,000, and then we're looking at Mock and Sturm legal counsel, Mock and Sturm Limited, who the principal is an attorney and a CPA and worked as an auditor earlier in his career. And I actually had a chance to speak with a friend of mine who audits townships and municipalities, and this is the company he recommended. He says, "Yeah, this, you can't go wrong." So, as Joel indicated, we had a conference call with the principal attorney he said, yeah, he says, this is not as rare as you would think. This is not that uncommon. This is really pretty easy. He said, I'd be happy to represent you guys. I think I can help you out. They want a $1,000 retainer, which is basically covers 4 hours of work. He says, I think we can probably do it inside of 4 hours. My thought is, hey, if we can pay $1,000 to get $10,000 of penalties waived, that's probably a pretty good, that's worth taking that chance. So we would need to, you know, approve the $1,000 to pay the retainer, and then Joel would sign off on a power of attorney so that Joel would give the IRS permission to talk to Mockenstrom.
Flyover's late, sorry.
So Joel would give the IRS permission to talk to Mockenstrom about our tax penalties, and Mockenstrom would represent us in those discussions.
Is the rusher?
Really? I've not heard that before.
There's no band. You're going to hear more for the planes coming in.
Them guys are low.
Free advertising.
Question, Kevin.
That even though we're putting $1,000 out, would we still try to go back to the bonding company to get $1,000 back?
That would be a second tier question. We did let Mark Mockenstrom know that we may be asking that question after we get through the first issue, and he said I can help guide you with that.
For another $1,000.
Well,
the good thing is our bond covers that $2,000 of his services.
I definitely think that we should go after the bonding company for it. I mean,
oh yeah.
After this is done, I'd like to get the penalty done, get that covered. I think it's money well spent. If we can spend $1,000 to relieve a $10,000 debt.
Right, and then that's penalty. And yeah, that's why we have bonding insurance that then we go back and,
yep,
and recover that. We do pay those insurance premiums, so that way, you know, the idea is, you know, we want to make the best use of the monies that are entrusted to us as the township by our residents.
I'll move to hire Mockenstrom with a $1,000 retainer to handle the tax penalty situation that we have from 2015, Joel.
Yeah.
And do we have to mention in there that we give you the authority?
Yes.
Yeah, and give...
We're turning over power of attorney.
And we're turning over power of attorney to Joel Moskowitz to handle.
No, to...
To Mockenstrom.
On my behalf.
Joel,
on
our fiscal on Joel's officer, behalf. We'll yeah. sign off.
Okay. On I thought I saw it. Is that good, Joel?
That's great.
Okay. So that's my motion.
Okay. I can second that.
Roll call, Dave Bench.
Yes.
Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay.
You gotta sign that one, I believe. No, I signed that
you
one.
You signed this one. This is yours.
Okay.
All right. So we got legal counsel and power of attorney taken care of there. The last thing on new business is the 2017-2018 audit.
Okay. So the, I guess I'll start, Mark.
Yeah, go ahead. I'll chime in if there's anything.
More trees for you. Mark saves all his paper. Look at his binder.
He cleaned it out here the other day. I noticed.
Okay, so you're looking at two documents, one very thick and one very thin. We'll start with the management letter. which is this first one on top. This is for the 2017-2018 fiscal year. It is from Perry & Associates, who was contracted by the state auditor to complete the audit for those 2 years. This is a summary of the audit, and it coincides with the second document, which you have in front of you, which is the more, not only includes the summary of the findings, the non-compliance or material weaknesses from the audit. It also has the kind of them defines where they came up with those material weaknesses or non-compliance. So if you look through the second packet towards the back, you'll see the documentation to coincide with those. We have to acknowledge as a board, sign off, that we accept these findings, the material weaknesses and the non-compliance is listed, and then the very last page of that packet is the adjustments required to be made in the accounting system. Looks like this, with positive and negative adjustments. So, kind of, it's all of their findings, you know, and then of course, if adjustments are need to be made, positive and negative ones, here's the ones you need to make. And then we have to make them and then send them to them. So if you look at that last page, I kind of work back. Look at the last page and you look through the compliance issues or the non-compliance issues, it'll summarize where they came up with that. So, some of them are errors made that just require them to be moved from one fund to another. Other ones are double entries made in the past. And some of them aren't really issues that require any sort of action, more putting us on notice. So, for example, just to use one, it said in 2017 you did not appropriate, you spent more money than what you appropriated, I guess was the takeaway in simple terms. As an example, you didn't go back and reappropriate the money that you spent, and you're supposed to, right? Obviously, I know that. We did that already this year. We're all in agreement. This is the money we agree to spend. So those are like mistakes that are made. They point that out and they say, don't do that again. Other ones are similar to that, like you deposited money in the wrong fund and needs to go into this fund. So, and another one is that it was mentioned and it was really obvious in 2017 was bank reconciliation. So they saw that in 2017, bank reconciliation had not been done in a while. And so you saw us come in 2017, make these bank reconciliations happen, make adjustments, which impacted the balances for that year. And then, of course, that just sets you up for, you know, obvious findings, but because there's no findings in here for recovery or anything like that. There's no misuse of public monies. That's not
here. Right, yeah.
This is not that.
There was no misappropriation or no misuse. Yeah, but no fraud. The biggest thing was that the prior fiscal officer did not reconcile to the bank statements for a very long period of time. Yeah. And without that check,
errors
the amount of money you think you've got.
Yeah.
Is wrong.
Exactly.
And so it's our practice, Joel's practice. Joel does and will continue to reconcile the bank statements every single month And that's the check. I mean, anybody's got a checking account at home, you make sure that at the end of the month that it equals what the bank says, and that's how you know how much you got. Right.
So, and that's how you catch errors too. And mm-hmm. then you can make mm-hmm. those corrections right Time away yeah. instead of not making them at all. As mm-hmm. in, so some of them are simple ones, and other ones are, hey, you made two entries here, you never caught that error. Year goes by, it's still there. The error is still there. So it does inflate a fund.
So a trustee, it'll be fine.
If you guys, what's can we look through this real quick? I have them tabbed. I'm sorry.
It's frustrating because you're cleaning up something that was done prior to everybody. You know,
the nice thing is there's only three here. Okay, so I just want to make sure you point them out. So there's no page numbers on here, which is, I'm not sure why they did do that.
We in the first numbers, packet or
the thick packet?
The thick one? Yeah.
The thick packet.
Yeah. Gotcha.
It's going to look like that. I'm sorry.
Documentation of material weakness.
Yeah, in the top right corner has okay. material weakness.
Are you the work? Are you on work paper 1100.05?
Yeah.
Okay.
Whatever
okay.
that means. So that's a material weakness. So that's not a non-compliance. Yep, you got it. So look at those bullet points. That's the meat of it. So that summarizes things that we didn't do. And then, of course, on the very bottom, it says what you can do. So that's good. A material weakness is not a bad thing. That's just normal, I think, mistakes that people make.
Yeah, these are just, they were misclassified, yeah. mislabeled, and so yeah, exactly. the auditors fixed them, yeah. brought to our attention. Yeah.
Brought to our attention. The second one, go two pages back. Work paper 1100.06, yep, you got it. Yeah. Non-compliance. So that's obviously one to focus on. And this is the one I mentioned where in 2017, two funds exceeded their estimated resources, which means you're told by the county how much money you got to spend total, and you appropriate so much money to spend. And if you want to spend more, you appropriate more. Do not exceed this total amount. And so it's like having a budget. And then if you want to go over your budget, you should review it and then ask for more money and then get it approved. So they're saying in 2017 that didn't happen for those two funds. And of course they're saying don't do that because ultimately that might affect your cash balance in the bank and with paying bills. I mean, that's pretty obvious. So any questions on that one? And the last one. I have all these tabs here. It is the page after that. Another material weakness. And these are, again, material weakness, not a non-compliance issue, not a fraud issue, not a misappropriation of funds issue. And so here you talk about some... just, you guys understand how to read this. You have a double posting in 15 and 16 of receipts, the same amount, okay? And then you have, again, some things in 2017 that were not recorded and cashed. So just, again, errors. Errors made, weren't caught. They happened so long ago. And then it says, hey, make sure you do your bank reconciliation so you can catch these mistakes. Right. And that's the three that are listed there. Mark, did I miss any?
Nope, you got it.
And then right after that page is all these very exciting, if you're Mark, you probably love this stuff. If you want to go to sleep, go ahead and read these. These are just the physical notes, like the journal entries showing a mistake, and then showing they fixed it or reclassified it. They use that word a lot. Or straight up, here's the mistake. So that's a non-compliance issue. Here's what you need to do to adjust it. So some of them, where it says no, you see where it says entity proposed entry. See that? Mm-hmm. Right there, you got your thumb on it. Mm-hmm. And it says no. That means nothing has to be done. There's a lot of no's, which is good. That means nothing has to be done. They're saying we already fixed it for you in the audit. The ones that are marked yes are the ones on that last page, which says you have to do something about this mistake. Any questions?
So if I understand what has to happen,
yeah,
on the last page,
yep,
there's a series of adjustments that you would need to make in the UAN accounting system.
Accounting system.
And then we as trustees would be asked to sign off that we accept these audit adjustments as the CPA auditors have
recommended. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. That includes the non-compliance and the material weakness concerns. So in that packet, and I have it on mine, so I have them tabbed, we have to sign multiple places, which we should do after the meeting.
Right.
Just so you understand what it is they want. They want to say, hey, we acknowledge it, we get it. We, as the Board of Trustees, understand. We're going to work really hard and then for the next audit, before the next audit, to make sure that these things don't happen again. And make these changes and prove to us you did it. That's all I got.
Are you going to discuss
those adjustments there would be, they wherever it says yes to an entity proposed entry,
right,
that's what's going to be in
here. Right.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Do you want to know what it means?
With the exception of this one, which was, as Joel explained, the same amount was entered in two different months crossing two different years.
Right. He deposited twice.
Yeah.
The same amount.
Well, it was recorded as deposited.
Recorded as deposited twice.
But it was really only deposited to the bank once. Bank said, I only got it once, and we...
That's huge because that throws your fund balance off
dramatically. Yeah, it's showing you have less cash.
So does the person responsible for that fund balance understand that fund balance changed?
And why?
No, he doesn't know.
He doesn't know yet, okay.
But sometimes it's better not to know.
Yeah, I was going to ask.
No, I'll explain it to you. It's real simple. It says in the thing, too, in 2015, a deposit was made of $47,000.
$823.
And then it was made again right the next year.
In January. The next month.
So you know what that is, Tony? That's the cap.
I know what it was.
Yeah.
And that's why we're having trouble with the BWC then.
I don't know.
So your fund balance was $47,000 higher than what you actually had in your account.
Yeah. No, that's the fund balance too, which actually what's interesting is, you know, it probably changes year to year where some mistakes will be positive and some will be negative, right? But the situation
is... I guess I need to remind everybody that that's past, that's over with. That's a prior fiscal officer, and the safeguards that prevents that thing from happening is we reconcile our bank statement every single month. Yeah. And if we make a mistake, we catch it right away and fix it.
Yeah, you have the rest of the year to fix it. Mm-hmm. Go back in, do your thing. Yeah.
So that's history. It's unfortunate, but it's that kind of thing's not going to happen again.
And there's probably always going to be a mistake when they do an audit. They're going to catch something.
But as long as it's minor.
I have been in healthcare finance for decades, and I have never, ever heard of an audit where the auditor comes in and says, wow, this was really a waste of our time. You know, we didn't have anything to do here. Perfect. Never happens.
Everyone's
got
to have a
chance. What's that?
Oh, sorry.
Well, good for you guys.
You got a good lady, yeah.
Okay, is that all you had on that, Joel?
Yeah, that is.
Okay, so we got to sign all them.
Stay afterwards.
Do we need do we need a motion approval in the minutes?
No. It's more just public acknowledgement of the honor.
All right. Anybody have any questions on that?
Funds. Sorry, I love finance.
You want a copy of this? I'll be happy to. I'll treat yourself with it over there.
All right. Any other new business?
I got the 2019 Summer Caucus with the state lawmakers is Wednesday, July 31st at 8 a.m. to 12:45 p.m.
What day was that?
July 31st.
Okay.
That's at Owens.
Yeah, I did see that. I saw something come across. I don't have it for sure with me. But is that, have we gone to that before? Is that... I guess it's a chance to talk to all of our legislators, isn't it?
I can meet Mr. Sheehy.
Yeah.
Did you get his personal phone number?
I got his personal phone number, but he never answers it.
You need to change your phone number then.
Dave Bench.
I did mention your name. He said, oh, yeah, I know Dave.
All right. No other new business?
The only other thing, I just got it. Sam sent it here. There's a Lake Erie Water Level ODNR Assistance Program. It's some grants, and I just got it this afternoon. Sam sent it, so I'll look it over and come back with it.
Follow back up next week, or next meeting?
Next week.
Sandbags.
All right. Anything from the public? Any public participation tonight? None? All right. Looking for a motion to adjourn?
I move to adjourn.
I'll second it.
Roll call, Bo Miller.
Yes.
Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Dave Bench.
Yes.
Meeting adjourned.
I went too bad.